What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare, on Prime Video, now streaming.
Hometown Ghost Stories contains serious and often distressing events and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
We all have a movie that we watch probably at too young of an age that either got us into horror movies or kept us away from horror movies. Today, we are going to review a movie that scarred me for most of my life. Welcome in, everybody, to another horror movie review. As always, I am your host, Rob Coakley, joined, as always, by Dave Wilkins.
What's up, Rob Coakley? I'm excited for this one.
And joined by Jesse Wilkins.
Thank you for having me.
And we have a special treat for everybody. I have two of my good friends from the football industry that I actually review movies with almost every Wednesday during the NFL season, Rich Rebar and John Daigle. What's going on, gentlemen? Thank you for joining us for this horror movie review.
I'm glad we could make it happen. We were supposed to do it last summer, and we're finally getting into it now. It's an absolute gem. I can't wait to talk about it.
Has anyone ever come on this podcast and admitted they don't watch horror movies previously? Because if not, I'd like to be the first to drop my ego and admit it.
I hate to break it to you, but you're not.
It's actually been good because Jesse was not a horror movie person when we started this show. So we get a lot of fresh takes or a fresh set of eyes on some of these movies. So myself and Dave have probably seen most of the movies going back years and years, but I would guarantee, Jesse, I'm guessing you did not see Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Absolutely not.
So, and this, as we're going to talk about, was the very first horror movie that I remember watching. And like, I was like 4 years old. But before we get into it, Dave, can you hit us with a synopsis?
Yes. When teenagers Mike and Debbie see a comet crash outside their sleepy small town, they investigate and discover a pack of murderous aliens who look very much like circus clowns. They try to warn the local authorities, but everyone assumes their story is a prank. Meanwhile, the clowns set about harvesting and eating as many people as they can. It's not until they kidnap Debbie that Mike decides it's up to him to stop the clowns' bloody rampage. Now, I saw this movie many, many years ago, by accident, actually. I think I fell asleep watching something else and woke up and this was on and I was like, what the fuck is this? And I couldn't stop watching it because it was so bizarre. But I initially wrote it off as just a bunch of nonsense, which, to be fair, it pretty much is. But when I went back and rewatched it, I was really able to appreciate the nonsense because this movie is an absolute blast. It's hilarious. It is completely off the wall ridiculous, but it's self-aware. They know that they're being ridiculous. It's not like they were trying to be something else and ended up being ridiculous, which could be kind of dumb. Could be amusing too. But this movie I thought was really just a really fun time all around.
Yeah, and off the bat they became self-aware because it was originally just going to be called Killer Clowns. Mm-hmm. And they didn't want to be mixed up with a slasher movie and they didn't want it to get mistaken as such. So then they added the From Outer Space to differentiate and let you know that it's got a sci-fi twist to it and that it's absolutely not just killer clowns that are walking around. killing people, which you obviously pick up on right away with UFOs and all this kind of stuff. And you understand it's a B movie right off the bat, and it's a wacky movie, and it's a hell of a lot of fun, and it's very silly, but it's a wild ride. It's a lot of fun.
Rich, I'm going to kick it to you because we initially have been talking about movies longer than, you know, we talk about football most of the time. So what is your history with this movie? Is this your first time watching, or had you seen it in the past?
Oh yeah. This is one of my original like horror movies that I've seen. It's not the first horror movie I've seen. The first horror movie I ever seen was a movie called The Dolls. I don't know if you've ever gone back and checked this out. It's a movie where toys come to life, and that was actually the worst way to get introduced into kids movies as a movies as kids. But this was right in my wheelhouse. You know, I think I'm a couple years older than you, Rob. So I don't know how Jesse and Dave, how old you guys are, but I might be the oldest one out of all of us. So this came out like right where I was, like right around like, you know, like 8-10 years old, and I was like right in that wheelhouse of like my parents were like, ah yeah, you know, at that time, like approaching like the late 80s, early 90s, because this one has kind of like that mix of like what that era of movies was. You have like, you know, about 30% dash of like male misogyny. You got a little bit of like class clashing in there, a little bit of casual racism thrown in, which is always in that era. But then, you know, you had those movies that were like PG-13, PG, but the bar was pushed, and this movie had like just like that brush against the edge. Like I think you got two F-bombs. There's no nudity, but there's like I said, enough sexual content in there for like a 10-year-old not to be seeing it really. But this was right in that strike zone for me. I have a lot of fond memories of this movie, like seeing it really younger than I should have been, and at that time.
I do believe it was one F-bomb, because in PG-13 movies, you're allowed to have one, and they used it wonderfully with the cop, who was absolutely fantastic.
He was the best character. John Vernon crushed it.
This for
was
sure.
The best character in this movie.
He came in with the sole purpose to act his ass off, and he delivered.
He did. And the best part about his character is he never shook that I don't believe this bullshit scenario. I mean, as the movie's going on, the entire town is calling the police department and just trying to get help. And he's just like, you're not going to pull one on over me.
They're all in on it.
Entire town. And he just keeps going. The clown's in the goddamn station with him. And he's just like, you're not going to fool me.
And even that moment when he's playing the puppet, he was acting wonderfully. I don't know how many have seen it on this show so far, but my girlfriend and I were laughing because he basically portrayed the role of Mike Mustard, who's a big deal right now. If you've seen American Nightmare, the Netflix true crime documentary, because he's basically a policeman who was told this far-fetched story about kidnapping and sexual assault and just didn't believe it whatsoever. That's what Mooney was in this movie. He was the cop who was convicted of one outcome and didn't want to listen to anything else. So he poured the glass of Jack and just sat back and said, I had harder days in war. I'm not going to be fooled by these kids.
There's a lot. He's a very meta character with the times, if we want to bring it in. And then there's definitely, I think, some meta conversation to have around this movie after we have our fun with it too, though.
Diggle, was this your first time watching this movie?
It was, yes. And I don't know how deep you want me to go into it, but I always love the 80s nostalgia. I love everything about the music, the costumes. No, not one single person in this movie had normal hair. Whatever we deem normal, not one single person like actually woke up and just left the house with it. They all had mullets or perms or whatever was stylish back in that time. Really, my big takeaway, though, something I could not get off my mind the entire film was, I don't know if there's a number two, a number three. I don't know if there's a prequel. I don't know if it goes beyond this cult classic, but I do, even if it's like me carrying out this order, I want a sequel. Oh, I'm sorry. I want a prequel of how Pooh the dog and the farmer got to that house. Like, what did they do throughout their life to end up in that home and then eventually have that ending?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a dense forest that he's walking with his dog, which is great for farmland.
Yeah.
Why is he there? It makes no sense as to why he's there. And then
he's so excited about hot dogs.
Well, not even that. Like, his first thought is like, what? I found a circus in the middle of the woods.
let's go to try to get free tickets.
Yeah. That's not how you get free tickets. Yeah,
like they, his first thought was, how can we're going to score so many hot dogs and tacos out of
this? Yeah. I mean, he's living the dream.
And who eats hot dogs with tacos? Like, who's there? Who's like the thing? Like, you know what? I want a hot dog and a taco together.
I guess the question is,
I haven't been to a, sorry.
Is a taco a hot dog?
Oh,
or is a hot dog a taco? It's meat inside. It's got the same shape. I think we've had this conversation before.
It's been years since I've been to a circus, but I can't remember ever being at a circus where they serve tacos.
Yeah.
I wouldn't rule it out. Maybe outside. Maybe it's more of a fair setting, but I could see a food truck set up at a circus that might be selling hot dogs.
I was
hot dogs. Yeah. Not tacos.
I was actually in the Russian circus. I got pulled in from the crowd in Moscow.
Oh, okay.
Acted out a moment in the circus, but I only say that story to confirm there's no hot dogs at Russian circuses, just to let you know.
You have to start off.
There's a lot more backstory that you need to get to. Like, how the fuck did you end up at a circus in Moscow? Let's start with that.
I believe what happened is...
what did you get by fucking spies?
Can I guess? I was at a party in New York.
Not to weigh the podcast down, because the point is to talk about this movie. But I was traveling Moscow for a couple months. And went to a circus with a few friends in the area. And I believe they were picking us out as we went to the bar or the bathroom area. And the light was spinning because they asked for two guests in Russian. And the light spun and I couldn't believe it when like it literally spotlight stopped on me. So I walked down and the guy, fortunately, the main clown, the host, spoke both Russian and English. So he'd like be yelling in Russian to the crowd. And then he looks at me and he makes funny noises about a barbarian. Cause I'm supposed to be the barbarian. He's like, oh, oh, oh. And then like, as I walk by him, he whispers to me in English. He's like, don't kill the lady. I said, okay, cool. And so then
that seems like the most Russian thing to say. Like they probably say that all the time.
Don't kill the lady.
He said, yeah. They say that in almost every scenario that I can imagine over there.
So he gives me a sword and then I just walk and I don't hit her. And then he's joking with the crowd about how I'm supposed to kill the lady with the sword, the woman he pulls down from the crowd. And then eventually it just comes this Greek tragedy where he gets someone else and then he's the one who eventually kills the lady. And then I walk over and then I say, I can't kill the guy. And then he literally whispered in my ear. He said, everything must die. And he kills me and I fall flat and the crowd cheered. And that was literally the story. It was Succession, but in the Russian circus.
I think I'm having a hard time figuring this out. Did he actually kill Woody?
No. It was luckily all rubber swords, which I guess you wouldn't guess from a Russian circus, but all rubber.
I would think that if in that scenario, if he grabbed me and was like, kill the lady, I'd be like, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. Just let me get out of this
circus. Yeah, I'll do whatever you tell me to let me walk out of this country. Yeah.
I have so many questions, but I'm not going to ask any of them because I feel like we need to get back to this movie. But that I had a lot of questions.
So I'll get into my backstory with this movie a little bit. I was 4 years old when I watched this movie for the first time. And this is
theaters.
No, it came out in 88, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was born in 85. So 4 years old, about 1989. And this is the problem with having young parents. My father was 21 years old at the time and was just like, you know what? Let them watch Killer Clowns from Outer Space. It'll be fine. Nobody will care. Like, he won't be scared to death. Rewatching this movie now, a lot of it is silly, but I still fully understand why I had a clown phobia for all these years, because these suits are still terrifying looking. Like, if you're a child, these clowns are scary as fuck. Like,
while this movie is pretty silly, there are some scenes that are kind of scary, like legitimately scary. Like when the clown was using the cop as a puppet.
Yeah.
He had that really like dark voice. Like, that was actually a scary scene.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool, because in like a scene before, he's on the phone. He's like, you're not going to make a puppet out of me or something.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Sure enough, that does end up happening.
Yeah,
it's a little guy, little nugget there. But if other things that you can catch in this, or other things that I did find a little bit off-putting, because it's real goofy. Like, the movie's obviously very silly, and the cotton candy thing is like, it's just such a silly element to it.
But that was another scene that was scary, is when
exactly.
they open the cotton candy and the dead bodies inside.
It. Yeah, they're just decaying inside. It's like, it was actually kind of cool. So there were some of those scenes. And then the scene that I was so glad that they did something with it, he just shoots him with popcorn. I was like, why? Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's a clown thing to do, but then the popcorn ended up being little like eggs for the babies to grow and stuff. And then they turn into those worm creatures.
I love the worm creatures. Such a great scene. That's so good.
Because she got that popcorn everywhere in that bathroom. They were in the cabinet. They were in the toilet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And those things were creepy. And I'm like, as a child, as a four-year-old, seeing those things pop out of the hamper, I must have just been sitting there like, what the fuck? And then I watched the movie It like 2 years later.
No.
So this whole clown thing was just like, you know, because although this movie scared the hell out of me, it also is the reason why I love horror movies. After I watched this movie, I was like, I love this feeling of being scared. So I started watching Child's Play and Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th whenever I could, whether it was a parent letting me or whether it was me sneaking it on TV. I remember the first Friday the 13th I watched, because after watching this, like, it kicked off this lifelong love with good and bad horror movies. And I think this is a great combination of both. It is both good and bad. And to your question, John, they did not make a sequel to this movie yet.
Yeah,
they
are talking about it.
They are trying to make a 8-part series for streaming services right now. That is what they're trying to do. But there is also a video game that just came out a few months ago for Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I have not played it yet, but I am interested in trying it at some point.
Absolutely. I would imagine the series has to be something similar to Stranger Things, because Stranger Things kind of hit all the notes of the nostalgia too, except you would need to make it much campier like this movie does.
Mm-hmm. They were trying to make a sequel for a long time. It got in development hell. They were trying to make it so that the main character, Mike, was just one of those guys that became...
Not just Mike, Mike Tobacco.
Yeah, Mike Tobacco. Sorry, Mike Tobacco. What a name. What an absolute name. Anyways, he was supposed to be like the town crazy person after this, and he was going to always talk about the clowns coming back, and then they finally come back, but that clearly never happened and was not made. And now they're talking about the 8-part miniseries just continuing the story of the clowns. I don't know what that story is. They all blew up, but
yeah.
One thing
I can say that I liked about this movie, there's actually a few things specifically that I liked about this movie particularly. And one, it was under 90 minutes. If this was a really long movie, that would have been really stupid.
Yeah.
And it ended right when it needed to end. And the other thing that I liked that it didn't do is it didn't try and explain the aliens. It didn't try and give like a stupid backstory or a reason why they came or anything like that. They just said, here is a horrifying situation that happened. It happened. That's all you get. And that's usually a problem when movies, they have something, especially something ridiculous like this, and then they try and explain it like it's ever going to make sense. You can't possibly make sense out of something like this. It's too ridiculous. And I love that they didn't even try to do that, like so many movies do and fail.
Yeah. I mean, that's the big like kind of thing that they try, like when they get all the main characters together, when they're going to the kind of like the third act scene, the climax of the movie, they actually kind of toy around with that a little bit when they're all kind of like just riffing on like, well, why they're there. They're like, you know, I think Mike at one point is like, maybe they're astronauts, you know, from centuries ago. They're like, our ideas from clowns come from them. And then like the two brothers who are like 45 years old running like an ice cream stand, like absolutely incredible. You know, the ice cream truck, like, are like, you know, maybe they're from a dying planet. They're trying to figure it out. Like, that's what makes like original horror movies great to me, because that's the scary thing about life, right? Like, and we're in a bad time for it because everyone literally is trying to concoct narratives and like some backstory for like reason for like, you know, like the universe to care about our individual suffering. But like literally just like life is random. And like, that's what I love about like the original like horror movies, like stuff that just happens, because that's the scariest thing about real life, is that everyone wants to justify like, you know, your life having like this amazing meaning. But like, existence is very largely random.
It is.
And life is relevant here, because those Terenzi brothers are definitely doing life for non-consensual acts, like right now in whatever universe we're living in. I'm worried about those two guys for sure.
They thought the ice cream would seal the deal, man. But I think with these aliens, that was kind of cool, is no two aliens looked alike. They had a whole bunch of different ones that I loved the effects on this. It was super cool. Then you get these worm creatures in the bathroom that we discussed. Those didn't look anything like each other or the other ones. You get the final boss, like this big zombie clown thing that
Godzilla like
clown. Yeah, Godzilla clown or whatever. So you get all different forms of these things, and you make it makes you think like, are these what these aliens actually look like, or are they just playing to people's fears, or they just leave it completely open? While they try to explain a little bit of it away, they really got no answers. And I thought this movie was great. Like I said, obviously I knew right away what it was. I knew it was goofy. The ending kind of threw me for a loop a little bit. It was a cool ending where a lot of people died and then none of them were dead. But for the very end of the movie, you get the pies that landed on them. And if you remember what happened to the security guard at the amusement park, those pies killed that guy.
Yep.
So they might be dead at the end because the pies did land on them. So I wish the ending wasn't as stupid, because I mean, the whole movie is stupid, but with them landing in the clown car, how the hell did they get in the clown car? And why is that clown car safe? You dropped that thing.
That was the alternate ending. The original ending was the cop died. And then they said, this is too dark. We kind of want to have more of an upbeat ending. So they changed it and added that clown car that came out. And that's why it seemed to come out of nowhere, because it was an afterthought.
Yeah, it was after something.
It's not a super dark movie, but there is a high body count.
There is, but the whole town is in it is basically wiped out. But a little too much plot armor for the ending that they did choose. Also, like the Ice Cream Brothers, we saw that vehicle epically explode, and then like, we climbed in the freezer with the ice cream. Yeah, it's just
makes sense.
Total sense. What are you talking
ice cream
about?
Will save your life.
Perfect sense.
That's even the writers were trying to get the hell out of there at the end. They're like, throw all these answers and responses at the very end, and then cut the credits. Like
that's week 18, baby.
I love it because essentially the movie is basically kind of over, and like you just know either there was a director or like one of the primary writers was like, no, we're getting to my giant clown. his whole goal of that movie is like, I've got like a giant, you know, King Kong planned clown, and like we're getting to this somehow.
Yeah.
The plan for that one originally was they were going to use like the claymation stop animation or whatever, and they ended up just using forced perspective and green screen and stuff, and I thought it came out great. I didn't really notice any difference, but maybe they tried it with the claymation and it just looked like a terrible Star Trek thing or something.
Those graphics came out much better with the green screen than the quick like 2 second animation of the baby clown riding the imaginary bike. Whenever that thing passed chasing the car, I was like, okay, I'm glad they kept that to 2 seconds because it was very obviously poorly done.
Yeah. I want to talk about the pharmacy scene real quick.
Okay.
Because
loved it.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
The pharmacist had the worst ADR I have ever heard in my entire life. And not only did he have terrible ADR, they just kept cutting to the same clips of them over and over and over again. It wasn't even like new clips. It was like, if you watch it, they recycled the same clip like 3 or 4 times. They get this really bad ADR. And then 2 minutes later, they come back, show the same scenes again, and then actually have his real voice talking on the phone. So you get this whole different voice in the beginning. And then you get his actual voice when he calls the police station. It was just very 80s, very like, All right, we can ADR align, so we are going to ADR align right now.
I just loved what they did in that scene with the clowns. They're just in there just tossing shit off the shelves, just all nonchalantly, just making a big-ass mess for no reason whatsoever. I love that scene because it was just so pointless and stupid and lots of fun.
Super stupid. Another scene that was terrifying is the one where the clown's waiting outside the burger restaurant trying to lure the little girl. Oh, he's holding it's like, man, that is actually like a really dark and sinister and creepy scene. And how is no one else seeing this 8-foot clown outside the window other than this little girl?
Yeah, it makes you wonder if she was the only one that could see it there. It kind of leaves more to the imagination. And then the scene that didn't make sense, that was slightly enjoyable, was you got the ice cream bros and they fall in the ball pit and the two girl clowns come up and you're like, oh, these guys are done for. But no, they just had sex with them.
They come back with like a big lipstick marks all over them. Yeah.
They just had sex. Finally.
I thought a really cool scene was the Crescent Cove cutaway and the theme song, the music hit, that like gnarly 80s synth sound. And then it's like the two or three clowns. It didn't overstay its welcome either. It's like 3 to 5 clowns slowly begin marching towards the Crescent Cove 5 miles away sign as they walk towards the street. I thought that was pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. I also liked the parade when they were just kind of going down the street and just casually just zapping people. And it was goofy, but it was really eerie and kind of unsettling. So there's a lot of this movie that I was like, if I watched this when I was a kid, I would have been horrified probably.
Yeah.
Rob, the score to this movie rules. First of all, the theme song rules. And like Daigle said, like that the score on that scene where they're all walking towards the town is awesome, man. You got like the punk rock kind of soundtrack to this that just works really well. My thing is the checklist for the gags, right? Like you've got clowns, right? So like, how are we going to have them, you know, take people? We've got the cotton candy stuff to tie in, but all of the actual clown gags that were tied in, like they really ran like the full gambit. Yeah. I love the scene where Debbie's going to jump out of her window and they're all just under like waiting to catch her in the and then you got like, the tiny doors, the clown cars, you got the mallet, they just run through the whole checklist.
The squirt gun flower.
Yep, that was good because it didn't end up being anything deadly. You just did it because he was a clown. Yeah. The other one that I really liked was when they hit the security guard with all those pies. It was a big pile of pies. One of them at the end when he's just literally just burning to death or whatever, or just melting away. He just comes and places a giant cherry on top and then
I'm glad no one said my favorite because I literally laughed out loud whenever the clown was doing shadow puppets and did the George Washington crossing the Delaware River with his fingers. I was like, that's really intelligent.
I know. I like how it kept cutting back and forth to the intricate shadows that are on the wall and his like big cumbersome fingers that could never possibly create that shadow.
That's clever comedy.
Those gloves.
Yeah, all of that was good. I mean, one of my favorites was the balloon dogs. So just
balloon
dog was so good. The balloon dog was just to be like the hunter down. It's like these are all done. It's horror comedy done well without being too, I mean, it's over the top, but not, I don't know. It's like it's self-aware, but not to the point that it's annoying. You know what I mean? There's a lot of self-aware horror movies that are just, it's just obnoxious.
It hasn't reached Sharknado levels. It's good.
I love Sharknado. It was such a good time.
The first one was so much fun to watch.
It really was.
But the whole movie is just, it's a blast. It's, to your point, the score, I miss this about 80s horror movies. They all had like their own created score for them, like, or their own theme song.
This was a theme song, like its own theme song.
Uh-huh. Yeah, when they did this, like Alice Cooper did one for, I believe, Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th. Like you would get these customized songs to open and close movies for these. And it's like, we need more of that again. That's awesome. Like that was so awesome. So
even as a hip hop enthusiast, like Bonnie Tyler, I Need a Hero is my favorite song of all time because it hits all the notes I want. Like I need the piano. I need the synth. I need everything like that. This movie has literally everything you want from 80s music. It was great.
Nails it. The one thing I would have liked a little more of is they did all this stuff. Speaking of the 80s, I would have loved a little montage of the clowns killing the townspeople in different clown ways a little bit more. like maybe we get a dunk take or something like that to that effect, some more, just more circus related clown stuff, like a 30 second, 45 second montage or a couple minute montage. That would have been a little bit more fun. And you could have set it to the theme song or something like that. You get it with the puppet show a little bit, right? Like if you could add more of that. The little puppet show was fun.
Well, they're all kind of largely playful, except for the invisible car where he just like runs that other dude off the road and I'm like, oh, this guy, that's like one of the darker deaths.
Yeah, I mean, even the boxing one was playful, and he just comes up, puts on the boxing gloves, and just punches the dude's head off. It's like, what are you gonna knock my block off? Yep, that's
also
happening.
That dude was kind of a jerk and deserved it. Like, imagine if a little clown came over with his little colorful bike.
Yeah.
But yeah, also, I mean, rolling up on the motorcycle dudes, that was great. It was a great tie into that.
Yeah, it was very good. There was another 80s trope where you would just bring the horror killer to fight a biker gang all the time.
Always.
Just always. I mean, you had it in Friday the 13th, you had it in this, you had it in Terminator, right? So like you just get this, you get this constantly from the 80s. But hey, works every time for me. I'm all for it. Is there anything else we wanted to hit on this movie in particular, gentlemen?
I don't think so. I think I covered everything I wanted to talk about.
Any negatives? Does anyone have anything negative to say about it?
Not really. There were a couple of little things that I noticed that didn't quite add up, like real little stupid things. Like when Mike was in the back of the cop car and they go to drop Debbie off, Debbie gets out and Mike lets himself out of the back of the cop car. That's not how cop cars work. But like, who cares? I mean, stupid, a couple of little things like that. There was an arm in one of the puppets that you could see in the bathroom scene. So little stuff like that. It was a super low budget movie. $1.8 million was the budget. Crushed the box office, $43 million.
Weird that it didn't have a sequel, right?
No, it is kind of weird.
They tried a bunch of times. It's something they kept running into issues with it.
Yeah, and then you also had horror really changed in the 90s, so this kind of came at the tail end of that 80s era. I have two quick observations that I just wanted to bring up. We talked about the farmer. There's something about the elder actors in the 80s that came clearly from like the 30s and 40s, and they really, really over hammer it up. Like they're still in like a silent film or like in the first quote unquote talkies where they're just like so over the top. And that's what this farmer was. I'm not saying I hate it.
That was the pharmacist's eyes. Like the way he looked as well. It was like really over the top.
Yeah. Super. Yep. Yep.
And the other flaw that I noticed that was just a little particular. I actually rewound it just to make sure I didn't miss something was when they were pursuing the clown car in the ice cream truck and they had the police car chasing him. He's like, you got to pull over. There's the cops. And he grabs the steering wheel. When he grabs the steering wheel, the car screeches to a stop. Like that's not how a car stops. And I rewatched it again. I was like, maybe he stomped on the brakes when he grabbed the wheel. It could happen, but it just seemed like the grabbing of the wheel stopped the car.
That is precisely what I would do if I was driving. If someone grabbed the wheel, the first thing I'd do is jack on the brakes.
I like the same trope you always get where Mike and Debbie are trying to get to the police station and he just like rolls up on the curb and wrecks into the car in front of him. It's like, you don't have to drive. Still just drive normal, park normal. Like, I don't like, but that happens so much like movies and stuff, but never would have really happened.
You have to show the sense of urgency. The other one that I thought was just kind of comical, the actor that was playing the cop, Dave, the younger cop, I felt like he thought he was going to get like a Scorsese movie after this. There were some scenes that he just over delivered whatever he was trying to do.
Well, that dude's on like every CSI made now, right? Like that guy.
Is he really?
Yeah, John, I'm pretty sure. Out.
Nice.
John Allen Nelson.
Yeah.
Well, good for him. He got it then. He got his CSI role from Killer Clowns from Outer Space because he would just be like, just follow me if you want to live type of deal. Like he was just so over dramatic in certain spots and just lines that didn't really like inflictions were just too over the top. I was like, good for you, man.
You've definitely seen him. If you see him like as a gray haired dude, you'll be like, oh yeah, I've seen this dude like 1,000 times.
All right.
Fair. Yeah. Definitely.
Okay, cool. All right. Do we want to get into some scores for this movie?
We do.
Dave, I'll let you start.
I got this at 4.5 stars.
Four and a half.
A very strong movie for what it was. It was an intentionally funny movie, very campy, horror comedy. It nailed everything that it was trying to do, and the very few negatives, honestly. So it was a lot of fun, a great time. And the 80s is just the absolute best era of horror, unquestionably. Nothing else is even close.
That's true. Let's kick it to one of our guests. Rich, what do you have this movie at?
I will give it a four, a solid four. Mm-hmm. Just a ton of fun, man. Just reminds me of my youth so much. It's there just to have a good time. They swerve into all the clown gags. The costumes are great. The soundtrack's great. Just kind of doesn't overextend its day. Everything you want from it.
Jesse, do you want to give us a score here?
Yeah, I got it at a 4.6. It was just because it knew what it was. Like you guys said, it's self-aware. They weren't trying to do something that they weren't really putting out there. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Diego?
The props are great as well, and very rewatchable movie. Like, I could see myself rewatching this next week. So I will say 4.3.
There you go. That's a nice score. I'll give one more fact about this movie before I give my score. A couple of the costumes were repurposed and used in Ernest Scared Stupid, I believe, is the
great movie.
I was trying to find the movie because I knew they were repurposed. I knew they reused and I couldn't find what it was used in. So thank you for bringing that up.
They look terrifying in that as well. I remember that movie as a kid.
They never, just like stuck some fur on them or something, right? Like they're like,
no, they painted features. It like skin color almost, okay. Like over the faces. So they made them like trolls. So it's like a whole different, and I didn't put it together as a kid. I saw someone post the side-by-side pictures a couple months back, but I'm going to give it a 4.7. And for all the reasons that everybody said, but also because, I don't know, this show might not be happening if I didn't watch this particular movie. Maybe it still does, but this show, this love of the genre for me starts here. It was the first thing that ever scared me on screen that I remember. The 80s was terrifying with kids movies too. So I almost feel like we have to cover some 80s kids movies that were really scary back in the day, like Return to Oz. I don't know if you guys remember that one, but that was a very scary kids movie back then.
Listen, so, you got to do the dolls, man.
Oh, Jesse has pulled up the repurposed.
Oh yeah. Look at.
Yeah. So they are.
Oh, wow. Weird. Yeah.
Just as gosh, terrifying there too.
I never would have caught it.
There's a one more that when they're side by side, they look even more like it. So yeah, 4.7 for me. I think that this is just a fun time to watch. Has some very scary elements to it as well. Would probably not have your 4-year-old kid watch this particular movie if you don't want them to have a clown phobia for, you know, at least 30 years of their life. I think I'm finally getting over it a little bit at almost 40 years old, but who knows?
Before we end this and wrap it up, I want to pick the next horror movie to review while we're here right now. Since January and February are kind of slow months for horror, and I don't think anything groundbreaking and new is coming out, I'd like to stay in the 80s for the same reason we reviewed this one. The movie that terrified me as a kid also scared the life out of me. I had nightmares. I couldn't sleep at night. The movie stressed me out, and it was so, I haven't gone back and rewatched it yet, but I really want to, because I don't know if it's going to be good or bad, if I'm going to be super embarrassed for this being like the ultimate scary movie. But this is also the movie that got me into horror, because I just like that feeling of being scared.
And it's Bambi.
It was Bambi. Got me. It's 1987's The Gate.
The Gates. Okay. So in 2 weeks, we will be reviewing The Gate on this channel. So get yourself some time to get that reviewed before we get out of here. Rich, where can the people find you and tell them a little bit about what you do?
Listen, I write about fantasy football in betting. So you can check me out. I write for sharpfootballanalysis.com. I'm at Lord Reeves on Twitter. I used to have a fun account where I talk about pop culture and stuff and all these things, but I don't do that anymore because social media sucked the soul out of my life. If you like football stuff, go check that stuff out.
Daigle?
Very much the same thing. At NotJDaigle on Twitter. Lots of football stuff. While we're here, shout out to Rich, though. Football Writer of the Year finalist for all those listening. So he's the man of the hour.
Whoa. Listen, what I will say is, of all the people that I am friends with, and I'm not just like giving them props because I'm friends with them, Rich and John are two of the smartest people in the industry. And when I'm looking for something, I always look at their stuff first. So if you are looking to get better in that space or football space, these are the two guys to follow. Make sure you're following them for sure.
So you do have smart friends after all.
Yeah, not you guys.
Not us. What the fuck? All right. Well, thank you, John and Rich. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll put their information in the show notes below so you can follow them on Twitter. Definitely good fantasy football advice. And always, always a pleasure. We'll have to have you guys back. You guys were a lot of fun.
Yes, absolutely. Now the football season's not here.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot more time now.
Yeah, let's watch some stupid movies. Come on.
That's going to do it for this episode of Hometown Ghost Stories Horror Movie Reviews. Thank you. Thanks for John. Thanks for Rich for joining us. We'll catch you next time. Peace.